Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
And we're talking business, all right. This time, the business of healthcare. This comes on the back of Life Healthcare Group publishing its very robust operating performance for this financial year, significantly marked by a strong second half performance, especially within its Southern Africa operations. Let's deep dive into what this does mean, especially given that not only do they focus on the hospital group itself, but there's been amazing innovations and sales that they've participated in through brands and innovations like Neurosec that have obviously contributed to the group. To tell us more, we join on the line by Peter Wharton Hood, Chief Executive Officer of Life Healthcare Group. Peter, welcome back to Kaya Biz. Such a pleasure to speak to you.
Likewise, Gugu. Wonderful to be back, and thank you for the wonderful intro.
Oh, it's exciting to speak to you. I must tell you, Peter, I was speaking to a few of my colleagues on the Drive Show earlier today. I highlighted that we will be in conversation with you around your results, and two of my colleagues were singing your praises around the Life Healthcare Waterfall Hospital. Apparently, the treatment is top-notch and amazing service that they've actually been able to enjoy. And I think that's perhaps something that you can respond to just in terms of the prioritization of making sure that customers always come first. At your facilities?
Well, I'm delighted, Gugu, but Life Waterfall belongs to Netcare and Richard Friedland. So please, a shout out to Richard and his team for all the wonderful care that they give. We're all in this together.
Yeah.
When I hear private hospitals getting accoladed for the wonderful service that is received, whether it's provided by Life Healthcare, MediClinic or Netcare, and the independents and others, It's just so good for South Africa. And I do travel extensively, and it's a wonderful moment to be able to reflect on the quality of care that is delivered by our respective entities in the South African environment. It truly is exceptional. And I'm delighted. I wish I could have taken the credit for it, but you got to give it to Richard.
True. Kostanov is also, I guess, one that came up in our
conversation. There we go.
Yes.
Thank you.
So that's why I'm squeezing it in there. Apologies about that error. But I do think it actually speaks to, you know, how South Africans are responding to your brands, especially as a private healthcare groups. And maybe if we, you know, align that to your numbers and the strong second half performance, especially looking at paid patient days, but also still ensuring that there's a level of optimism in your operations. Let's talk through that then.
Absolutely. And the then chief executive of our South African operation, Adam Powell, took a brave call with his executive to enter into a pretty pervasive network, hospital network deals with the providers to make Life Healthcare the number one network provider hospital for funders and patients in the South African context. And it took a little bit longer for that to get the traction that we had hoped for, bearing in mind that some of this was pretty innovative and there was no definitive set of numbers on which to operate. So we had to take a little bit of risk. And the first quarter of our financial year was really tough. The first half, less tough, so to speak, but the second half got us the traction that we've been looking for. And in so doing, we had a pleasing set of numbers that we can talk about tonight.
Definitely. A strong set of numbers that does speak to the operational performance overall. What I'm keen to talk about is paid patient days, and that only grew by 1.6%. Occupancies reached 68%. Help contextualize this. Is this a concern, I guess, around... or not even a concern, does it speak to how healthy our population just might be, or are South Africans looking at alternatives? What's the context?
No, perhaps I need to slightly correct you. 1.6% growth in paid patients days is phenomenal in this environment. Mm-hmm. It is a substantial increase. It doesn't sound like a big number when one compares this to other industries, but it is a big number in healthcare terms, and it does mean that a substantial amount of business has been taken by Life Healthcare into its hospitals and away from others. It turns into a significant number of admissions. I think it's a reflection more of the strategy of the Life Healthcare group. If one looks at our competitors' numbers, there are more sick people into hospitals than there were last year. So it's certainly not a reflection of an improving health in the population, but perhaps more of a reflection of the fact that medical aid members are getting older. And older members are naturally sicker members. Mm. And that's what's playing out in the industry at the moment, because the total number of insured lives in the medical aid schemes has stayed flat.
Mm-hmm.
So for us to be able to grow means that people are in actual fact sicker.
And this also speaks to your investment that you've made in Neurosec, if I'm not mistaken, right? Innovative medical solution that does help with the evaluation of Alzheimer's disease. I'm hoping I'm getting this one correct.
No, you are. It's a complex topic. The current management team can't take credit for it. It was an acquisition that was made some 8 years ago, and it was an innovation that took place over nearly two decades, located in Berlin, originally in the Bayer laboratories in Berlin, that designed an isotope that is capable of providing a definitive diagnostic for an Alzheimer's patient. It's been in production for many years, but has only got traction more recently because having a diagnostic for a disease that you can't treat is not particularly helpful. No one will go and try and get diagnosed for a disease if there's no treatment.
Mm-hmm.
That all changed about 18 months ago when the FDA approved a treatment in the United States. And at that particular point, we then had a diagnostic and a treatment, and one would think, well, that's all hunky-dory. It's off to the market and we'll sell. That only works if their medical aides are prepared to pay for the diagnostic and the treatment, because the treatment is particularly expensive. And when the medical aides in the United States decided to reimburse or pay for that, then the market was secure in that end-to-end we could now start making the sales happen. And that's what's happened with Neuraceq in the last 18 months, and more specifically in the last 12, that sales have taken off because the market and the care pathway is now complete.
Yeah.
And there's still a long way to go.
And maybe let's talk about some of the growth and opportunities that do exist, not only with the likes of Neuraceq that you've highlighted, but other innovations that you are also looking to invest in and drive sales of in South Africa.
Well, Conker, what that goes down to is we said in 2021 that we really wanted to expand our business lines away from just growth in hospital beds. And with that, we said that we would also deploy human resources and capital into mental health, acute rehabilitation, renal dialysis, imaging and nuclear medicine, oncology, and then in our life health solutions and life molecular imaging, we also said we would invest in them. That is starting to play out at different levels of intensity. You saw a significant uptick in the work that we're doing in renal dialysis, and that is off the back of a large transaction we did to buy the business of FMC from Fresenius. You'll also see a significant uptick in our imaging and nuclear medicine statistics that we reported, where we've seen imaging as a diagnostic, as a modality that will certainly grow and grow disproportionately. And nuclear medicine, end-to-end, starts with a cyclotron producing radioisotopes for diagnostics all the way through to PET-CT imaging equipment. We are of the firm belief that that is just in its infancy. If one looks at developed markets around the world, the use of PET-CT imaging primarily in oncology cases is significantly higher than it is in South Africa. And we think we will play catch-up. So we are enthused by the growth in our complementary services businesses.
Mm-hmm.
They do take time, but we can start to see traction across all of those that I've mentioned.
Got you. And on that note, Peter, I do see you've paid a special dividend. There have been certain assets that you let go of in the last financial year. Does this mean that this is the opportunity that you'll focus on in the years to come, especially from an acquisition point of view?
I think what our strategy is telegraphing is that we are a Southern African healthcare company. I think we've learned valuable lessons and gained valuable experience through the foray into India with Max, Poland with ScanMed,
mm-hmm.
and more recently our presence in Europe with the large-scale business that Alliance Medical Group represented for us. We have learned enormously, but we also understand that a South African-based balance sheet can't fund a growth in foreign currency as easy as one would imagine it is. And in so doing, we have to be realistic about where we spend our money and where we concentrate our expertise. So it's closer to home base shores that we will continue to grow. That doesn't rule out something across our borders. The acquisition from Fresenius has placed us in Eswatini and in Namibia, albeit small. And the complementary services business that doesn't require large hospital investment or large scale footprints does allow us to contemplate the delivery of diagnostic imaging, nuclear medicine, and renal dialysis in those countries adjacent to South Africa.
Got you. To close off with, Peter, we have been hearing of a more optimistic tone and sentiment from many South African business leaders on the back of the GNU, the cut in interest rates, maybe even additional excess revenue that South African households have access to on the back of the two-pot system. What's your feeling around the outlook for 2025?
I was lucky enough to be part of a delegation which, together with government officials, made presentations in New York on the SA Tomorrow conference about a month ago. It was incredibly well received. You know, personal friends of mine that had been somewhat skeptical were enthused by the dialogue and dynamic coming from our senior politicians and their overall outlook for our country. And the overtures they made around stopping load shedding, fixing Transnet, a stable outlook on interest rates and a well-managed central bank really landed with investors. The big topic that wasn't touched was that of healthcare. And it's my plea that levels of collaboration with government are taken to a constructive level. Private healthcare has a role to play in the delivery of NHI. We have capabilities and capacities that we'd love to share and contract with government. And in so doing, I think that is the next topic for positive dialogue that will really complete or round out this wonderful dialogue that's embracing our country and the positivity within which we're now living. So I'm looking forward to seeing that take a positive next step. And I think it's certainly doable. South Africans have a way of being able to achieve magnificent things when they work together. Mm. I think that time is right for us to be able to do it in healthcare.
Fantastic. Such a lovely way to end this off, Peter. Really appreciate your time this evening. And keep doing an amazing job to all the staff at Costa North and many of your other hospitals right across the country.
Thank you so much. Good evening, Gugu. Thank you.
Thank you. That's Peter Wharton Hood, the Chief Executive Officer of Life Healthcare Group.
And if you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.